is the book of Job. And if you'll turn to the book of Job, the 5th chapter, and verse 26. Job chapter 5, verse 26. I've read this verse over and over and over again recently and thought about preaching on this subject. I wish that I could finish this message this morning. I doubt that I'll be able to, and we'll probably finish it tonight if I do not finish it this morning. I want to speak to you on the subject of growing old gracefully. And as I've studied this, and there's so much in the Bible about it, and some of these verses you'll want to probably make a note of and go back to them again sometime. I didn't realize that there was so much in the Bible on this subject. This is a message that is very personal to me, and I think very timely. In Job chapter 5, verse 26, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Or as best I can see from that verse, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season, or as a shock of grain goes to the threshing floor in his season. And I can see here the picture of growing old, coming to the end of life, and what life can be and should be. But before I bring you the message, let us again pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for all of your blessings. We thank you for the service that's gone on this morning here, for the teaching of your word and for the singing of your word, for the singing of truth and praise unto you, for songs that give us something to think about and that are food for our souls. And Lord, as we look out over the congregation this morning and we miss those that are usually here, and our hearts would desire their presence this morning, but because of some providence beyond their control, they are not here, and so we pray for them. We thank you for the tape ministry that we have opportunity of sharing the services with others, preaching the word to others that are not here. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for every phase of church work that you give us to send forth from here through the radio broadcast and through our missionaries and through the personal lives and word and testimony of individual members. We pray that our lives would be in accordance with your will for us day by day. We realize that we sin and come short of your glory, and we who are saved realize that even more than those that are unsaved, because, dear Lord, of the light that we have and of your love that's been shed abroad in our hearts and our knowledge of you and of your person and of your holiness and of your hatred of sin, and yet we see sin creep into our lives, and we ask you to give us a greater abhorrence of it and a greater hatred for sin and a greater love for righteousness. We too would pray for all of our homes and our families and for the future, whatever it might be for us. We ask you to prepare us for what you have prepared for us and help us to have our lives where they'd be meaningful to others and glorifying unto you. We come in behalf of those of our membership that have reached the ages where that their infirmities prohibit them from being in the services. We ask you to bless them in their homes and wherever that they might be. We pray for all of the sick and for all of them that wait upon them. And we pray for all of the unsaved. And we know that Thou art God and that You can do whatsoever that You will. We pray that You'd grant unto us patience and faith and courage while You work out Your will and Your way in all things. Now help me to preach the message this morning that You'd have preached, and bless the people as they hear it. May we apply it unto our lives, and me especially to mine. In Jesus' name and for His sake I pray. Amen. I think as you looked at this verse and you heard it read and maybe read it with me a few moments ago, that you got the picture, and I trust that you have somewhat of a picture of this that I believe is the spiritual application of it. You know, Jesus used so many times in His ministry material things and things that people were familiar with to present a spiritual truth. And I think the same thing is true of this verse. When you see a field of grain fully ripe and ready to be gathered in, you know that sometime back there that there was a farmer that prepared the soil, plowed that field, planted the seed, and did whatever was necessary to get the seed in the ground. And then as the crop came up, cultivated or fertilized or did whatever was necessary to it, and there appeared first the little blade, and then there came the stalk, and then later there come the grain, and then as the grain ripened and became ready for harvest, and then the farmer goes into that field of rich golden grain and he takes it into his barn. And I believe that this pictures the beginning and the growth and the end of a well-spent life. A well-spent life is usually a long and a happy life. I'll give you this verse from memory. You don't need to turn there, but you might make a note of it if you want to remember where it is. The psalmist said in Psalms 91:16, "With long life shall I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now, advanced age can be an honor and a comfort. An advanced age can terminate in peace and happiness. We can all remember people that have grown old in that condition. Now, this is not a message only to those who are in the evening years of life, but I believe and trust and have prayed that it will be useful to all in every age, because we're all advancing along the roadway of life. We're all on that common path that will lead us to the last step along this roadway of life and unto that door of death. You know, we just occupy different places and positions on that path. Some are just starting out. You look at the little children here, and they're just starting out on that roadway, on that pathway of life. Some are halfway along the road of life. And some are reaching near the end of that roadway of life. Now, there's not any stopping on that path. We are always advancing forward, and we're soon going to reach the goal and the end. Now, those of you that are my age, when I came here as pastor, we were the young couples and so on in the church. But we look around now, and those that were the older generation before us, they have passed off the scene of life. And we have now moved up there, pretty close to that end of the roadway of life. And we look around, and those little ones that were being held in parents' arms, now they have come along, and they're at the middle of the roadway as we think of it. And then there are those little ones, as I mentioned, that are just starting out. Well, soon we'll move off the end of the roadway. We'll move off of the scene. And our children and so on, they'll move up to where we are. And then others will follow them along. But there's no stopping. It's a continual thing. We're moving on all of the time. Even the very young, and they don't know that, but you and I do. We were talking about this out at Brother Jimmy Miller's yesterday. And even the very young will be hurried through the different stages, and it'll not be long till they'll be standing where we are. We must grow old. All of the beauty aids, and I'm not knocking it, use them as long as they'll do you any good. But all of the beauty aids and all of the health rules in the world cannot prevent us from growing old. I realize, and I know that you do, that not all live to a ripe old age. Some die in the midst of their days, and you understand what I mean about that. The psalmist said in Psalms 102 and verse 24, he said, I say, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Now, if providence prolongs life, the swift passing of the years will soon take us through the successive periods that I've mentioned, and the sun of life will begin to decline. Age will take away health. It'll take away vigor. It'll take away strength and activity until we become the subjects of infirmity. Now, if you're there in the book of Job, run on through the book of Psalms and come on to the book of Proverbs, which is, and past Proverbs, which is the book of Ecclesiastes. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now, here is a description, and I'll not take time to use a lot of time describing what these different things mean. But here is a description of the aging body. And so there's going to come the time, if we continue on in age, so we'll come to these infirmities and weaknesses and sufferings of old age. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the strong men shall bow themselves. Now, that refers to, I believe, the legs of the human body. And as you grow older, and some can relate to this and some cannot, but you will. You're not as steady on your feet as you once were. The strong men bow themselves. The keepers of the house tremble. This is the house that we live in. The legs grow weak with age. The grinders cease, the teeth, because they're few. Those that look out of the windows, the eyes be darkened, the doors shall be shut in the street. The sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. The hearing's not what it once was. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. The spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now this is our portion in life. We ought to begin early for the final crisis. And oh, young people, so much is said in these few verses, encouraging you to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, and be preparing for the final crisis. Because the person who spends the morning years of their life in sin will feel the effects of it as you grow older. I'll guarantee it from experience and on the authority of the Word of God. And even though you become a Christian in later years, you'll still feel the effects of sin in the body. Job mentions that in Job chapter 20 and verse 11. He mentions one whose bones are full of the sins of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust. So you injure your body with the sins of this world while you're young, and Job, by inspiration of God, said you'll carry them to your grave. God will forgive sin, but still there is something to pay. So young people, if you want to pass gracefully into mature life and be prepared for a bright and happy old age, then begin in the early years to know Christ, and not only to know Him, but to serve Him. For if you will do that, then you'll never have to cry as the psalmist in Psalms 25:7, when he said, "Remember not the sins of my youth." So you must, first of all, know Christ as Savior to have a good life now and to have a good life to come and when you are in your older years. Because it would be better, and the Bible, in the words of Jesus, declared this, but it would be better never to live than to live and die without Christ. Oh, how much that you need to become acquainted with Him. I'm trying to think of this verse. It's in Job 22:21, I believe. In Job chapter 22 and verse 21. And I may get there and have the wrong verse. "Acquaint now thyself with Him, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee." You see, that's talking about now and in the future. Come to know Him now. Acquaint now thyself with Him, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. You remember that Jesus said in John 17:3, He said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31. The wise man Solomon wrote, "The hoary head is a crown of glory," listen now, "if it be found in the way of righteousness." The hoary head, or the gray-haired person, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. But you see, without a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is as Paul said in Ephesians 2:12, you are without God and without any hope in this world. So you live and die without Christ, and you go down to the grave and eternity with no preparation for the sins that you are facing. You remember I preached last Sunday night. John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, for there was found no place for them. Oh, how fearful and how scary that it is to realize that some are going to come up before the great white throne. Only the unsaved are going to be judged at the great white throne. They're going to stand there with no preparation for the sins that are before them. Just think about what hope does the person have who grows old in this world without Christ. How sad and how gloomy are his or her prospects for the future if they grow old in this world and have not Christ. Because they are leaving the world, and the world is leaving them. Their early friends have either passed off of the scene, or they are like they are, confined to where they cannot have a fellowship with them. And so such a person who does not have the friendship and fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ is a stranger in the world that they've lived all of their life in. And all of the former sources of pleasure are passing away, and all of the sources of enjoyment are gone. And eternity stares them in the face. Without God, without a hope. And I can just think of nothing more desolate and sad than an old person without salvation, without a Savior. The Bible mentions strangers from the covenants of promise and shut out from God's kingdom of light. In Job 18:18, the scripture says, he shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. Never forsake the Lord Jesus Christ if you know him. Never forsake him. Never forsake him. Not for a little while. If you're saved as a teenager, don't you forsake the Lord in your 20s or 30s if you want to grow old gracefully. Psalms 27:4. I want to read, and then I want you, if you read with me, to read a couple of verses in Luke 2. But in Psalms 27:4, the psalmist said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. I read that this morning again, and the Lord blessed me as I thought upon it. And I think upon you, younger people, and I say, may this be the cry of your heart, and may your marriage or may your employment never take you into such a place where you'll be away from the house of God. Listen, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? That I may behold the beauty of the Lord. That I may come into the house of the Lord and may hear of the beauty of His holiness. And may see the beauty of His works in others. And to inquire in His temple. That I might come into the house of God and learn more about Him. Turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 36 and 37. It gives the account of a woman named Anna. In Luke chapter 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now, as I read over this, and I don't know, I would just be surmising, I know that she was of great age. The Bible says that she had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And it seems to me that maybe she was married 7 years and her husband died. I don't know. It says, and she was a widow of about 84 years. I don't know if that means she was 84 years old or she had been a widow for 84 years. But the wonderful thing is that she departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And God saw fit to put her in the book, that we might see something about the faithfulness of this aged one. Certainly she had grown old gracefully. Paul mentions himself in Philemon verse 9, and he calls himself Paul the Aged. He writes to young preacher Titus over in Titus chapter 2. Verse 2 and 3, and Titus was a young pastor. And Paul is, by inspiration of God, writing him a letter and instructing him. Titus chapter 2. And he said, young pastor, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. He said, this is sound doctrine. He said, you preach to the men of your church that the aged men be sober, grave, or serious. That they be temperate, the aged men. That they be sound in faith, in charity and love, in patience. You preach to the aged men that they be sober, that they be serious, that they be temperate, that they be sound in the faith, that they be sound in love, that they be sound in their patience. And then to the aged women, the same thing said likewise, that they be in behavior as become a holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now he's talking about the older men and older women. And we do well to take heed, earnest heed, to these solemn commands. Nothing is more heartbreaking than to see a person who has served the Lord faithfully for years and see them as they grow older to become unfaithful, to forsake the path of duty and turn aside to follow after things of the world. I remember talking to a person several years ago, a church member, and that person said to me, "Well, there was a time when I was faithful to all of the services. But after I got my children raised, then I didn't really feel that responsibility anymore." That's wrong. Because we are serving God. And it's sad to see someone who has faithfully served for years let Satan get them out of service. How pitiful to see one become worldly who is soon to leave this old world and stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. To grow old gracefully, we need to take interest in the young. You know, it's really good to see an older person taking interest in the young. I mentioned not long ago what a blessing it is to see young people that care about the elderly. But how wonderful it is to see an older person take interest in the young. Job chapter 12 and verse 12. We need to be training the young for the future. Job chapter 12 and verse 12. With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. My brothers and sisters in Christ who are more aged, not more aged than me necessarily, but more aged than our younger generation, our length of days should have given us some understanding and some wisdom. And let us apply this and let us share this with those that are following after us. Job chapter 32 and verse 7. Job chapter 32 and verse 7. I said days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. Again, our time in service, we should have gleaned some things that the younger generation could use. And if we want to see truth preached, and if we want to see the truth contended for after we're gone, then we better be teaching some young people the truth today that they'd stand for and preach. If we'd see the truth prevail and be preserved in the world, then we must teach it to those that are following after us. Look at Psalms chapter 71 if you're reading with me. Psalms chapter 71. I'm going to have to find a stopping place here pretty soon. Psalms chapter 71 verse 8 and 9. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Someone wrote a song, and I don't know when I'd thought about it, but something of it comes to my mind now. written by some old missionary, I believe, that had been forced to return from the field because of his ill health, and wrote the song, "Jesus, Use Me." You know, that should be our heart's cry as we grow older. Lord, I can't do what I once could. We cannot go and do our, as we read in Ecclesiastes 12, our legs will not support us like they once would. We cannot hear like we once could. We cannot see like we once could. But let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails. Lord, use me in some way. Look now at verse 18 in that same chapter. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You know, nothing could thrill my soul in older years, and I'm sure that this would be the testimony of every parent or grandparent here. Nothing could thrill my soul more in later years than to see my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, walking in the truth. There's an old song that is heart-touching, "If I Could Hear My Mother Pray Again." But oh, if I could hear my children and grandchildren lift up their voices in prayer and praise unto God, if I could see them become witnesses for Christ, if I could see them occupy a seat in the house of God regularly, if I could see them giving their tithes and offerings into the treasury, if I could see them grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, that would be a foretaste of heaven on earth. You see, such sights as this in our children and grandchildren walking in truth, that lightens the burden